Good morning, Long Beach. How's everybody doing? My name is Jesse. I am the founder of People of the Earth. Just to get the mic started here, we got Lance on my left here. Today, we will be interviewing Lance. Just some asking him some questions, getting to know him a little bit more, and so does also for the community to get to know him as well. So, welcome, Lance.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me today. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. So just really quick, People of the Earth is a community-based organization that focuses on healing veterans and the Long Beach community through environmental stewardship and also mental health resilience. The organization hosts and participates in community events such as beach cleanups, guided hike, meditation workshops, and we tend to partner up with various outside organizations. Our main intention of our work is to heal the mind, the body, and the soul of the collective while stewarding the sacred land we reside in. So just wanted to kind of introduce what we do here in the Long Beach community as veterans. And with that said, I wanted to interview and get Lance here on the podcast. Lance is our executive director, essentially. And so I just want people to get to know him a little bit more and him to share, you know, anything that he wants the community to know. So, first of all, how are you doing today, Lance?
Pretty good, man. Slept in a little bit. I actually did my meditation this morning, so it's pretty good. And then just been running around errands, dropped off the rent. That's due. It's a reminder to everybody. This is the first rent is due. And then, yeah, just came on over.
First of the month, for sure. So I guess, on that same topic of you waking up, what you have for breakfast today?
Oh, I didn't have anything for breakfast. I just
Okay, so you might get hungry here.
Maybe.
I think we got some snacks around here we can get you going with. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what veteran status are you, what branch you serve, essentially where are you from? Let's start with that.
Yeah, certainly. I was born in Santa Cruz, California. However, I wasn't raised there. I was actually raised through a lot of different cities in Central California just because my parents moved a lot and because they worked in the agricultural fields. So picking strawberries or whatever else. And we tended to move through different cities to find work. So after Santa Cruz, I remember we lived for a short time in Castroville. And then we moved to Salinas, California, where I actually spent most of my teenage years. But even then, within Salinas, we still moved around a lot. And that's where actually I got recruited to enlist into the Marine Corps. And that was back in 2011. I enlisted straight out of high school, went on to work in embarkation and logistics. I just did 4 years, but went through two different units, did one deployment, and towards the end of my service, I decided to pursue other ventures, specifically my college education, because that was something that was afforded to me and also was a privilege to do. So that's where I refocused my efforts, and that's actually where we ended up meeting back at Cal State Long Beach.
Wow, that's a beautiful depiction of what you've from the beginning to like where you're at now. So I guess on the topic of being in the service as a Marine, what was one of the hardest challenges you had to overcome during that period of your life?
I think the physical aspect was always, I had pretty down in terms, I was always fit and I really didn't have any challenges with like the hikes or the running. I'd certainly say it's probably more of the mental aspect. The culture that the Marine Corps builds or instills upon you, as well as for me, the expectations that it imposes upon you. And it's always this expectation of perfection, or at least high performance. So that can be pretty stressful too. If you're not being able to manage all of those different inputs or how to compartmentalize it all. Because essentially you're living and breathing Marine Corps 24/7. So even when you're off, you're not really off. But and then to add on to that, certainly the leadership aspect, you know, sometimes you'll have some very good leaders, sometimes you'll have maybe some not so good leaders, and even then those will also create additional stressors for you.
Yeah, I remember that on my experience being on the ship. I was in the Navy, and yeah, you just get officers rotating every year, every 6 months, because they have to go through every department on the ship, and so your leadership chain of command tends to be a little bit on the adapting side. So I feel you on that. I feel like that's something that persists in any military branch, from what I've heard. But you know, I did want to ask you a little bit more about, like, you know, today, your present, like, what are some goals that you're pursuing right now?
Oh yeah, some goals right now. I'm going back to, I'm starting to do my research to actually start my MBA. So that's for my Master's of Business of Administration. I found some good schools that in which I'm going to focus on and then start applying. And I think the application cycle is starting to open up. If not, it already has. And then the secondary, some other secondary goals really is to, I don't know if you remember, but we took the wilderness travel course with the Sierra Club. Yeah, and we definitely still need to graduate. We still need to do our two hikes to graduate, yeah. And we haven't done a single one. So
it doesn't allow me to sleep. Trust me, I'd be texting you in the middle of the night sometimes, feeling bad, but not really.
But definitely do the hikes, and then so we can actually pass this thing. And then I'm trying to remember what my other goals are. Really, just to get back into running, because we also have a upcoming half marathon to do and Joshua Tree later this year. So those are my current like top priorities.
So is that where you see yourself in 5 years, basically going through school, obtaining this, you know, this degree and the MBA and going from there? Is that something you see yourself in 5 years or what?
Yeah, most certainly. Having have already the MBA, you know, in my hand, and at least ideally for me, how I would like to at least apply it is more so in developing my own leadership position within my own career. So, I mean, I'm talking more of the managerial director side, the path of which I would like to pursue. And then I think in a way it also will allow me to also begin or support other ventures, other small organizations, other small nonprofits who are starting. And I think that just having that business acumen will, you know, help me out a lot in terms of, you know, supporting those organizations.
That's amazing. You know, I like to hear that because I think that a lot of the good work that comes out of the community comes out of, you know, nonprofits. Like City Heart, you know, they do a lot of great stuff out here, and they're having us here on this platform sharing our stories. So
yeah, shout out to Paige.
Yeah, shout out. Okay, so, you know, one of the things that I admire about you is your commitment to meditation, being someone that, you know, is like focusing on yourself and really developing that. So I guess my next question to you would be like, when have you grown the most in your life, and what has caused that growth?
Oh, most certainly. I would say a lot of my growth has been just compounding over the years, you know, grow a little bit, you know, this year, grow a little bit more the next year. But for me, the biggest change within myself was back in 2020 during the early months of COVID, when we were all locked down and couldn't go anywhere. That's when I really started dedicating myself a lot more to meditating regularly. And the meditation that I use is called the Sky Breath Meditation. This is taught by a nonprofit organization called Welcome Home Troops, which falls under the International Association of Human Values. And they are a NGO. So these practices that were you know, taught upon me, that's when I started really taking it seriously. And at least for me, one thing that I noticed was that it was just a strange experience when I was doing the practice just randomly one day. For some reason, I just started crying in my room by myself, and I just had like this realization, this single thought go through my head that, you know, I didn't want to die anymore. Like, I no longer wanted to, you know, kill myself or anything of that. I actually wanted to live. So that for me was the single most, thus far, single most piece of growth that I have experienced of the actual, for the actual, of the actual urge of just wanting to live. And yeah, I definitely pointed to that.
The pandemic really kind of forced everybody to look inwards, you know? So I definitely feel, and you know what, just talking about the admiration part before this question, you know, you sharing your story, you know, there's a lot of us that go through that. You don't necessarily have to be a veteran yourself, but those ideas do cross people's minds. And so, yeah, thank you for being courageous, brave to share that. And, you know, crying, at least, I don't know, you know, I'm Latino. So, you know, growing up, crying wasn't really something that we could, you know, fall back on, especially being male Latino. Is that something you also, you know, had to deal with your whole life, basically?
Yeah, it was always at least for my home, it almost felt like walking on eggshells, and it certainly didn't feel emotionally safe in which I could share my emotions, especially those that may be related to sadness or being depressed. It was always more of a, hey, you know, kind of like suck it up, or like, you know, push it down. And that's certainly not healthy at all. But yeah, most certainly, just a different culture, you know, and the way that my parents were raised in the same way also reflected how I was raised. But now me being a little bit older, a little bit wiser, you know, at the same time, one, not holding that against them because, you know, they definitely didn't have the tools, the resources. And at the same time, too, now that I have the tools and the resources and with the understanding, one, it's okay to show your emotions, and two, like, okay, you know, what is the best, healthiest way to kind of deal with them? Do you share with others? Do you meditate? You know, so.
Yeah, definitely can relate to everything you said. I feel like it's a generational curse or linkage that you're really breaking apart and really setting the new standard from now on with the things that worked and didn't work. And so, you know, interesting enough, you know, I'm just hopping around my questions, but, you know, what is one thing that you do to create a boundary, maybe through parents, friends, relationship? You know, what are your mechanisms or methods that you use?
Oh, for creating a boundary?
Yeah.
That's probably something I'm still figuring out, if I'm being honest. I think just being candid and honest, like, hey, I won't be available during these times, or I am available during these times. I think just being, you know, upfront with a person and just telling them, hey, you know, this can't work, or this doesn't work, or, you know what, I don't like this, or especially having like separate one-on-ones with them if it's a much more serious issue. And I think just for me, really advocating for myself and standing up for myself, because there was a point in my life in which I wouldn't do any of those things, you know?
What do you do?
I was just kind of like fold like a lawn chair, you know, or like a wet paper towel or something. But I would be bullied a lot as a kid, you know. I wouldn't use my voice, and I would just like carry all that anger, all that resentment with me. And it's like, oh, you know, why couldn't I stand up for myself? Why didn't I? And yeah, I just didn't feel like I had the strength to do so. But now, nowadays, I certainly feel like I do, and I can, and I must, because I think we just, you know, as people, and, you know, can't allow ourselves to, you know, be shaped in one way or another. We must shape ourselves.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you for that. Boundaries are really important, something that I've just had to also learn how to navigate through in relationships. We tend to be programmed growing up, you know. And so with that program comes the way that you are. And so it makes sense. And so, yeah, you know, never finding that time to dwell on it, but finding a solution and moving forward. And so, you know, kind of like books. I know you had talked to me about books. I wanted to ask you, like, what is one book that you recommend listeners, the community, even myself right now, like, that, you know, has helped you shape yourself, like, where you are here?
Oh, that's a very good question. I haven't been all too keen on my reading, but the one book that stands out right now in my mind is Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. And I think more so of, one, the sharing of his own journey, of his childhood. And then number two, there's like prompts within the book in which it really, David asks you to reflect upon. Ask you to reflect upon your insecurities, your stressors, your goals, all of that. And for me to actually take the time and think it through and to write it down, that for me is which I enjoyed a lot from that book. So if you're somebody who's into kind of being uplifted through other people's stories and at the same time using that to inspire you, or almost as self-help in a way, because I'm not sure about you, Jesse, but for the most part I like to be self-dependent, and it may or may not be a good thing, but that book allowed me to be self-reliant as well, so it was a super enjoyable read.
Yeah, definitely. No, I do feel you on being self-reliant. You know, I've operated that way for a long time, and I just realized that you can't really do everything yourself. So I feel you on that. So, moving forward with some other good questions that I have here is, did you have conversations about mental health growing up? I believe you kind of briefly mentioned that in your household, but is that something that, you know, I guess going back to that.
That was like a dinner topic? Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dinner topic.
Mental health did not exist growing up. And I'll be honest, I really didn't hear about mental health until maybe like junior year of my undergrad. So that was like, you know, 2019 when I started hearing more about mental health and the importance of actually looking out after oneself and understanding our own stressors and worries and anxieties and how we can actually address them. There certainly wasn't any mental health spoken about in the Marine Corps too. It was more of a, hey, make sure you take care of yourself. But even then, there was still like the stigma within the organization that if you were to seek out for help, you would be perceived as weak. So that I personally never reached out for help, even during the Marine Corps. It more so happened, you know, much later on after I left it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of us realize at one point after we get out of the service to really like, what are we doing here? Like, and I just feel like that's one thing that I've come across veterans. Some veterans that they're just still kind of lost and just writing that same like record over and over, routines that, you know, once worked and they don't work anymore. And I think it's all connected with folks being honestly like afraid of taking the next step, afraid to put in the work for self-development. So, you know, for those out there that are listening to us, you know, this is our podcast. We're sharing these type of, ideas, these type of experiences, things that are helping us, because I feel like whether you're a veteran or not, like, you still go through these type of motions throughout your life. And it's like, how do you deal with them? And if you don't have a structure, if you don't have tools, if you don't have the books, the podcasts, the community, then you tend to continue doing those same either mistakes or the same routines that just doesn't really take you anywhere. And then you ask yourself, why am I here? But do you ask yourself, like, what have you done to change those things? And so, you know, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to ask you a funny question. What is the most embarrassing moment of your life that, you know?
Oh, the most embarrassing moment? I have a long list, but one thing that does stick out is I was like in the first grade, or like it was like kindergarten or something. And this was a time when I barely like
a kindergarten.
Yeah, era. I barely like knew any English, let alone like any Spanish too. So I was like very confused as a kid trying to navigate through that little world. But I remember I asked the teacher if I could go to use the restroom, and yeah, so you know, you get your little hall pass and you go, you know, so I'm running over to the restroom because, you know, apparently I had to drink like just so much water earlier that morning. Anyways, and then I'm going to go use the urinal, and I completely missed the target, and I actually ended up urinating on myself.
No way.
So the entire like right portion of my pants was just soaking wet in my own urine, and yeah. As soon as that happened, I just like started panicking.
What did you do?
I was like, oh no, like I'm going to go back to the classroom like all soaking wet,
yeah,
and all stinky. And immediately I like tried to use like paper towels to like, you know, soak it up, dab on it. And then I was like on the hand air dryer.
Yeah.
So I'm like grabbing my pants and like pulling them up as close as possible to the hand dryer, yeah, just so they can like dry up as quickly as possible. And then obviously there was like the whole like the time pressure of like returning to class on time and not,
yeah,
you know, not taking too much.
You get like 5 minutes
to, yeah, go, you only got like 5 minutes. I'm like, oh man, like
up and dump in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I felt like I was like trying to like defuse a bomb. I'm like, I'm all sweating.
You're like, well, yeah, that was a long, yeah, restroom break.
Oh my goodness. But yeah,
wow, know, like the fact that you were that young and trying to figure it out because you knew you were like gonna be embarrassed or something,
yeah,
some
sort of way. Yeah, I didn't want to like get in trouble. I didn't want to get embarrassed. So I'm like going back into the classroom, and as you walk in, my desk was like immediately to the left, to like the back left.
Yeah.
So I did like one of these things where, and because my it was like my right side of my shorts
were stained.
That were stained. I did like this backwards like Michael Jackson moonwalk slide, nice, back to my desk so that way nobody would see. But I felt like that probably caused a lot more attention than, yeah, of me just like rushing to my desk.
Why is Lance walking backwards?
Yeah, why is he, like, is he trying to hide something? And, yeah. So
okay, this is another funny question, and I'll leave it at this one, but randomly, like, will you spend 1 year at the North Pole or 2 years at the Sahara Desert? Random question. Super Sahara. Random.
1 year at each?
1 year. Well, 1 year would be at the North Pole, if there's one. I didn't know we had a North Pole.
Yeah, we did.
I thought it was a myth.
Thought we did.
Well, okay. And so, or 2 years at the Sahara Desert.
Damn. I'd say give me North Pole. Heat. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We did that WTC, that wilderness travel course.
Yeah.
And one of the requirements was to go and camp out up on a snowy peak.
Yeah,
that was not fun for me at least, but yeah, I learned a lot for sure.
Yeah. Like, I hate the cold, but in this case, just I think it's more about the amount of time spent there.
Yeah,
1 year rather than like
2 years in
sweating,
the desert.
Yeah, sweating your gonads in the desert for 2 years.
Dissected that question pretty well. Good answer. So moving into like the relationships, you know, we talked about friendships and stuff like that, but, do you have rules, or maybe now, or are you developing some sort of like rules around, you know, healthy relationships? So like,
yeah, I think for at least for just going to friendships, I don't think I ever was a, you know, good friend, nor did I ever have good friends, just because I didn't know what it really took to, one, maintain and grow that relationship. So all of my, you know, quote unquote friends that I had growing up have been for the most part transitional, and even those folks who I thought were friends weren't really friends. And so, you know, my friends that I had, and I think it also kind of relates to me moving around a lot as a kid, so I really didn't get the chance to build that up. But I remember I would have like elementary school friends. I remember one time one of my classmates, and I still remember his name to this day, his name is Mark, and he gave me like, it was my birthday and he gave me a toy, and I can't remember what it was, but I was just like blown away that that was actually like a thing to do for somebody during their birthday. That was like, that was me being introduced to the concept of actually of receiving and giving gifts for your birthday. Because personally, like having gifts during your birthday, at least we grew up in poverty, we didn't have those things.
Yeah.
So for me to receive something from somebody, I was just like mind blown.
Is it true, like, one of your gifts was, I think your pops gave you a shovel or something?
A shovel? No.
No, because I'm going back to the damn, like, camping in the snow, and we had to use a shovel to create a base for our tent.
Yeah.
And you were, like, telling me about the shovel, like, that you always worked on growing up and stuff, and...
A shovel that I was working on.
Yeah.
That was just like for me working in the fields with them. Yeah. But I never got gifted a shovel. It was more like, hey, use them to work.
No, I feel you. And so on that friendship topic, like what does friendship mean to you?
You know, I think for me, the genuine love and support you have for another human being, but at the same time, without expecting anything in return. So it's, just being there to support them there to support you, and you know what interests in common and commonalities as well as the goals that you all share. So yeah. I think that's been something that I've been more so focused on and actually like developing and growing my relationships, you know, understanding another human being, and that's been like a long way of me, you know, getting to this point now. Because even then, and I think for the most part, I guess also being a little bit more mindful of who I call my friend, because oftentimes, I don't know if this is with you, Jesse, or with anybody else here, but we use the term friend very loosely, but it's like we barely even know this individual or it's at a very surface level. And at least for me, that's not the kind of... label I would use. It's more right. Like, make sure, you know, hey, if I barely know him, then I barely know him, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, it's not a bad thing, you know, in itself, but definitely being more mindful of actually who I consider my friends and who are just maybe, you know, acquaintances, partners, or, you know, another term.
Yeah. And so, you know, on that friendship and even relationship status, like, you know, you've growing up, like, did you ever develop some sort of like, I guess my question is like, what is your like affectionate language or love language, so to speak? Like, do you, are you like someone who, you know, are good with words, gifts, you know, physical touch, acts of service, quality time, like just to throw some examples out there?
Oh yeah. I certainly say the top two for me would be quality time and physical touch, in terms of those in which how I would express my love or affection for another human being. And right now I'm actually learning how to express a lot more of myself through my actual words and allowing the other person to hear them, because I also have to keep in mind that just because I express myself one way, that doesn't necessarily equate to the other person receiving it as such, you know, because they also have a different perspective in terms of how they express their love and affection. And you know, I think for you it's a mixture of like quality time, receiving gifts,
No, I feel you on that, because I feel like I've been conditioned in the sense of like not really stating or really saying my feelings or things that I don't like, or like I said earlier, setting boundaries. And it's that little kid's voice, you know what I mean, that was never able to be projected when they were getting bullied or, you know, being like pushed around or being said no to, like, you know, like actually now, like, realizing, hey, I'm a person now, like that I can't say no to things. Or but you know, I don't know, like if you've had the same kind of like, I don't think it's an issue, just like non-understanding of like how to communicate. You know, like you might be like, somebody say something and they're like, and your response would be like no, you know, and that person might be like, wow, that was very like not since not like sincere, but it wasn't really missing the word here, but it wasn't compassionate.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, I've had to learn to be like, no, because, you know, this and that, and it has, you know, nothing to do with you. It's just like, I'm not feeling like I can go out tonight or something like that.
At least for me, I've always been more on the direct approach. You know, I don't think anybody really here needs to explain themselves as to the reasons of why they can or cannot do something. And at least for me, it's like, I'll just say, no, thanks. Appreciate it. I appreciate the invite, but I won't be able to make it out to, you know, this thing or that thing or whatever. And that's it. I mean, I don't know what else to say in that
regard. No, you're right. There's really no explanation you really need to give other than, you know, what you want to state. But yeah, that's for another topic to go in deeper, later in the podcast. But, I guess, just to kind of get things, a little bit more on the lighter side, like what has been your best year of your life, and also what has been your worst year of your life?
Ooh, best year definitely would be, 2020, because one, sticking through my meditation practices, addressing my own mental wellness, and then my own physical wellness too, because that's when I started taking running a lot more seriously, and that was also thanks to you and Ibarra that helped me with the running aspect. I remember I ran my first 10 miles ever with you guys.
Yeah, I remember that.
Man, I think it's like wrecking me too.
But you were like, you were trotting at the end, but you did not stop.
Though. I was like walking and like,
man. I think it was a mixture of we weren't letting you stop. Yeah. We were like, we're going to leave you behind.
Yeah, I'm all like walking when it's shading and then like running when it's hot so I can get to the shade so I can walk.
Yeah. Somewhere.
But I definitely say 2020 and like early 2021, definitely some of the best years. Some of the worst years, I don't know. I feel like it all goes in a way back to my own childhood, just the way I was raised, the environment that I was in, certainly wasn't the best. I can't point it to an exact year, but it certainly wasn't like sunshines and rainbows growing up.
Yeah, great. You know, I do want to take a minute just to give you a break here. But I did want to share with the community about a sky resiliency course that we're doing here at the Century Village. This course is going to be from September 8th to the 10th, essentially Friday to Sunday. It's something that as people of the earth, we've gone through this sky resiliency program. Basically, you know, all the types of different breath works that you can do to really center yourself, ground yourself, really you know, calm any anxieties you have, like sleep disorders and stuff like that. Everybody has their own, like, you know, dilemma sometimes. And so, you know, this course, we really want to share with the community. Few months we did a running event actually in the month of May, thanks to the Long Beach Running Club. Shout out to Gus and Sandy out there for really taking us in and introducing us veterans to their community of runners, and just seeing the similarities that we have together, which is like, you know, really running for our mental health, or for our goals to lose weight or whatever it is. It's just a positive environment to be in. And so like the work, the consistency that the Long Beach Running Club has been doing in the community of Long Beach, like, has really like helped a lot of folks, I believe. And so, you know, we raised money. We also applied for a grant. And so this sky resiliency course does cost money. And so with that, we wanted to open it up to the community and help at least sponsor 10 folks to go through it. And so we're really proud to be working here at the Century Village and with City Heart and with Project Welcome Home Troops. You know, all these organizations that really has seen what we're about. And now we're actually hosting our second cohort here at this village's. So, you know, if you do
feel like you're interested, please follow us on our Instagram. It's POTE underscore crew with a K. We put all our information there. You can send us an email also on peopleoftheearth @gmail.com. And so, yeah, like if you're ever interested in participating or looking at what events we got coming along, I can kind of state those here since I'm live. For this month of September, we have the Sky Resiliency Training on the 8th and the 10th. We already have a full class, but we are taking emails and RSVP. That way we can let you all know for the next following class. And then we also have a beach cleanup. Since last year, I remember on the Long Beach Give, we gave a promise that we were every month going to clean a beach or do some sort of like community cleanup. And we've been actively doing that with the help of a lot of members in the community and with their time, honestly. And so we're doing our beach cleanups is every third Saturday of the month. And this time we're going to be again cleaning the Shoreline Village out here in the First District out here in Long Beach. And so we are partnering up with Glass Bottom Tour Boats. Shout out to Nilda for partaking and sponsoring free rides for those that come out and devote 2 hours of their time to clean. I think the most important thing about this is it's just not us cleaning and that's it. Thank you for your time. And also like wondering why doesn't, you know, city do more about this and that. It's, I think the principle of it is like, and I've asked folks after every cleanup, it's like, how do you feel? You know, like how were you feeling before coming in and how are you feeling now? And I've had a lot of results like people saying, you know, I felt like this, or I had a rough week or whatever, but just being here in nature outside with other like-minded folks, and then also seeing something that's like disorganized, messy, you know, and then seeing the ending of what that looks like is rewarding. So a lot of people have their different versions of why they come out, but you know, I just want to reinstate that to the community. It's not really like come out here and just do some work. It's about connecting with the environment, with nature as well. And that's what makes People of the Earth who we are, a little bit different than other organizations. Cool. So how am I doing with time? Yeah, I got about 12 minutes or so. Yeah, so I guess to sum it up, Lance, thank you for your time and all that, but you know, what can people expect from you here on next?
Expect from me? Yeah. I don't know. Just be good looking, tall, buff. I would say those are probably
those are just good, right? You're just born like that.
That's what the people get every day. Yeah. But no, I think just continue to run the organization and develop it into an actual nonprofit. And then more of a, I think, shifted into a more of a self-sustaining movement in which all of these events are already planned well in advance and for the public, so that way anybody can join anytime. And I think we've doing a very good job at it, but rather it having it be at a monthly outlook, it's more of a maybe every 6 months or a calendar year outlook, or sorry, a yearly look, yearly outlook. I think that would benefit the community the most, and as us too, you know. Oh, so that definitely. Way people know what we're doing, what they can expect from us, and I guess another expectation out of me, you'll probably see me a lot more running, if I'm being honest. So
yeah,
if you're out there, then yeah,
out in the streets out there anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know what streets, but
what streets? No, just kidding. Great. And so, do you have a favorite quote? I'm just like pushing all these questions at you.
Yeah, I think one quote that I always enjoyed was from, I've said this multiple times already, but John F. Kennedy's inaugural address. And at the very end of it, he gives a long, like just giant call to the nation to, you know, step up and volunteer and support one another. But he ends it by, do not ask what your country can do for you, but rather what you can do for your country. And it's, at least for me, it's been super motivational to kind of appeal to people's selflessness and their natural nature to give and care for one another. So that's why I've always used it, you know, in speeches and talks and, you know, in essays, whatever it may be. That's always been a go-to quote of mine.
Yeah, it's definitely motivating. I've heard there's a word on the street that you're a singer / piano player. Is that something you can share a little bit more with us?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, now that I have almost like the time and the resources, want to, you know, dedicate myself to these hobbies, I can. And then the other aspect is, one, it's more about me, how to address my own insecurity with my voice. I think someone here in the room brought it up, how they don't like the sound of their voice. And, you know, I resonate with that heavily. And so that's why I've kind of turned to singing to, one, be more accepting of my voice and how to actually use it for something really cool. And then at the same time, two, using piano, you know, combining that with piano to address more of like my own stage fright of public speaking. So it's, but doing it in a creative way that's also fun, you know?
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I mean, that just, I'm remembering some of my meditation yoga practices, like exercising your throat chakra, so to speak. So
yeah,
that's really empowering, because one day you would teach that to someone and encourage them to, you know, use their voice. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, we hide behind that fear of, like, you know, judgment. Because something happened in our lives at some point in our younger lives that we're like, oh, you sound dumb or something. You're like, okay, I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, exactly. Put that in the basket and go forward.
Yeah.
So, you don't have a supporting, you know, community or family members, then that will encourage you to share that with the world, and you just really fizzle down to nothing. Yeah, so
exactly. I mean, public speaking is already hard enough for people, but imagine having to sing in front of a group of people that are just complete strangers. I feel like that's just, at least for me, I think that's an environment that I used to grow a lot. So, you know,
perfect. And, you know, is there anything else that, you know, we haven't covered that you'd like to say before we close out this session?
No, just thank you very much, everybody, for listening. By all means, continue to follow us on Instagram, POTE_crew. Shout out to Paige, shout out to City Heart for allowing us this resource and their time as well to spread the word. And see you all in the next Long Beach Running Club run Monday.
Monday's at 6:30 at Signal Hills.
Yeah,
let's go hit those hills. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. In this closing remark, also, if there's anybody in the community that feel like they want to help us grow, support us in any way, with your time, fundings, anything like that, anything works, to be honest, for us. We're literally, City Heart is our fiscal sponsor, but we've been, you know, slowly fundraising some funds that we want to, in return, put that back into the community in the form of, you know, mental health resiliency and environmental stewardship, basically our two pillars. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please reach out to us through our Instagram, because that's really what we're, our only form of communication besides our email. But definitely find us on the City Heart website as well. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Happy weekend and Labor Day. Be safe. And
awesome, guys. Yeah. See you all out there.
All right.